And I had moved to a new neighborhood. This woman knocked in my door. Her name was Jacqueline. And she offered me Bible studies. Somehow, I agree. So every Sunday, Jacqueline will come to teach me about the Bible. And I actually enjoyed it. Those Bible studies actually lasted 5 years. I grew up in a secular home. My grandma was Catholic, but my mom and my grandma, they forgot to send me to First Communion school, so I never learned how to pray or how to read the Bible. In Adventist terms, you know, there was no Bible in my home, no prayer, no BBS, no Sabbath school, no Pathfinders, no children's church. I say this because let's not take these wonderful programs that we have in church, for granted. Let's not take these things for granted. Bible studies that Jacqueline took the time to give me were super special for me. And even though my friends were playing and doing other things, on Sunday afternoon I had to do the Bible studies, and it was fine. Every once in a while, I was wishing that I would play with my friends, but at the end of the day, it was worth it. I lived in a house. One thing I remember about the philosophy that I learned as a child, and it was work, 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 you know, and that will give you satisfaction. You will earn an honest living, and you will be an honorable person. But there was no hope. There was no hope. And today we're talking about the power to transform. Work can give us power, but that is the wrong power. What power do we want? We want the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. So one day while my mom was in a business trip, I had this dream. Actually, it was a nightmare. This guy will come in a motorcycle. He was dressed in black, and he will come to the door of my home and ask for me and demand that I will go with him. And then he will start chasing me around the house, and in that chase, I will learn that he was the devil. And I was so scared. It was even more scary that this dream would haunt me every night. It was a reoccurring dream. I have no idea why I didn't tell my grandparents about the dream, but I was suffering by myself at 11 years old, or maybe going to 12. I was suffering. So when Jacqueline came on Sunday, something occurred to me. I said, Jacqueline, maybe you can help me. And she said, what's the problem? Well, I said, I have this dream. It's a nightmare. And I told her the nightmare. And Jacqueline was very kind and gracious. And she made me feel that it was not my fault. For some reason, I thought this whole situation was my fault. Sometimes children think that things are their fault, and it's not the case. So she read this beautiful verse to me, and I will invite you to open your Bibles in the book of Psalms, chapter 4, verse 8. Psalms chapter 4, verse 8. In peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. So Jacqueline gave me this advice. She said, before you go to bed, you're going to pray. You're going to claim this promise. And then you're going to read a chapter of the Bible. Pray again, go to bed. I did it. It worked. Let me tell you. Amen? Amen. And my 11-year-old mind, this humongous problem was resolved. For me, it was surreal. It was beyond my understanding. I was amazed. It really changed my life. This was so powerful to me. My friends, I know that your concerns, your worries may not be about nightmares, but we are most, I'm sure most of us here, we believe in the power of the Lord, that there is that the Lord has power to help us to any trouble, whether it's financial, whether it's spiritual, whether it's with our families. The Lord has power to help us. Amen. I invite you to please bow your heads for a prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you because you are the God of the universe. We thank you, Lord, because in your mercy, in your wonderful love for us, you come to us and dwell among us. And you want to dwell in our hearts. You want to guide us with the light of your world, of your word through our lives. Please, Lord, as we study your word, may you reveal things to us that are meaningful, that we can put in practice today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's open our Bibles again to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17, the verse that Jeanette read. She's the only one that allows me to pronounce her name wrong. Sorry. I am the only person that she allows somebody to mispronounce her name. Let's read in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Do you want to read it with me all together to the count of three? In hearing the word of God. So paraphrasing the verse a little bit, faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. Romans 10:17. I'm paraphrasing, okay? That message, the good news of Jesus, the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Romans 1:16. We plant and water, God gives the growth. 1 Corinthians 3:7. Any transformation that takes place in our lives comes by the sharing and sovereign grace of our God. A scripture is a means by which God alone saves us and sanctifies his people. Amen. Amen. Like the song, the Bible is the words of lives, words of hope that give us strength and that help us cope. Amen. These ancient words that have the power in the Word of God to transform us so we can be more like Jesus. Who wants to be more like Jesus? Amen. But do you feel that reading the Bible these days is popular? There are many, kind of no, right? That was a kind of no. The clicker, I don't know. Right here. Okay, reading the Bible is not popular right now. We, in this country, we have the benefit of worshiping in freedom. Amen? And there is a lot of sermons and there is a lot of preachers. But according to this research, Americans are pretty fond of the Bible. But even Christians, we actually don't read it as we should. Only about 9% of Christians, practicing Christians, read the Bible in a regular basis. This is according to LifeWay research of April 2011. It's kind of true. So today the message is going to, the second part of this message is going to share some tips that I learned from the Bible, the Spirit of Prophecy, and some Adventist preachers that I learned from, tips that we can put in practice so we can read the Bible more. How's that? Good? Great. So, so we're not surprised by these statistics. The Word of God says that the days are coming, the sovereign, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. So this was actually prophesied already, that that there was going to be a famine about the word of God. And right now, like I said, we have all this freedom, we have all these resources, but we also have all these distractions, right? And that prevents us from reading the word of God. So let's do an exercise. I am going to read a common phrase, a statement that is pretty popular, and you're going to tell me if it's from the Bible. If possible, tell me the citation, the verse, and the chapter, okay? But I don't want you to work by yourself. You can work with the people next to you, maybe 3 or 4 people, turn around, say hello. You have 5 minutes to say hello to, no, not 5 minutes, it's 1 minute, to say hello, okay? All right, but you need to work together, okay? The answer that you're going to give is not from, is not coming from one person, it's coming from the group. And here comes, do I have to always aim it there? Or not necessary? I could aim it there. Okay, so the first phrase or saying is wait, remember, you're not by yourself, you're talking to your team. Spare the rod, spoil the child. No electronics, though, that's cheating. Okay, so when your team is ready, raise your hand and I will let you answer. All right, Ephraim. Edwin, you can't team up with Ephraim. You got to team up with Margaret. He knows the answers. Okay. Anybody ready? Any team? Okay, this team here is not biblical, right? Can you open your Bibles, Proverbs 13:24? Proverbs 13:24. And I'm going to quickly read it. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Similar, very similar, even the concept, but not biblical. Samuel Butler, he coined this phrase in a poem called Hudibras. Okay? That's from the 17th century. That's why you guys don't remember. Next phrase. Ooh, too far. Ah. Slow down, slow down. Okay. All right. All things work together for good. Okay, I have a yes here, Jimmy. You think it's a yes? Romans 8:28. Okay, this was a very tricky question. And I'm going to say this is a common saying, but it's not biblical. Can somebody tell me why? For those who love God. Because, okay, guys, here is a first super important lesson when we read the Bible. Context. Okay, if you say this out of context, all things work together for good. Do you see the consequences? Yeah, but, okay, huh?
Because people say this all the time, this is a perfect opportunity for us to say, well, that verse comes from the Bible, and really it applies to those who love God. So, you know, it's a good way to witness.
It can be a way to witness, right? But also, if you say all things work together for good, does it mean that if you kill somebody, it's going to work together for good? Not necessarily, right? So the context here is very important. The next, pride comes before the fall. Two options. Is it in the Bible? Proverbs 16:18. So, yes, thank you for the quote, but this phrase as it is not in the Bible, but the concept is, it was taken from Proverbs 16:18. Anybody wants to read it? Can we pass the mic if somebody wants? All right, do you want to read it?
¿Qué día? 16:18. Pride goes before destruction and the Holy Spirit before a fall.
Amen. So, my first, I want to make a point that, you know, there is a lot written about the Bible, so we need to know our Bible. Let's read our Bible. You guys did great. There is power in reading the Word of God. There is a special blessing when we read the Word of God. It's not bad to read other books. It's not bad to read about the Bible. But let's read the Bible. I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? Okay. Can you? Yes, that's it. That's where I want it to be. Can you read it with me? Let's read it together. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. Last week, Dr. Sandoval, he encouraged to increase our faith. So how do we increase our faith? By reading the Bible, by the Word of God. Remember I told you we were going to go over some tips? So here is tip number one. Good. Make your devotionals a priority. Can anybody guess what Bible story is on the picture? Daniel praying. How many times a day did Daniel pray? 3 times a day. And what happened to Daniel? He was thrown on the lion's den because his co-workers were jealous. And Daniel made it a priority to pray. He knew what was going on. Let's read on Daniel 6, verse 10. Somebody wants to read it?
And prayed, and they sent before his God, and he did a fourth time.
Amen. So Daniel, what was going on? He said he just prayed as it was his custom, as he used to. But and God blessed him, and God delivered him from the lion's den. And he actually, what happened to his enemies? They were thrown in the lion's den. So making that study that I cited before said that the reason why most people don't read the Bible is because they don't make it a priority. They want to read the Bible, but they just don't make it a priority. Life gets busy and they don't read the Bible. Do you feel a little bit, anybody feeling a little bit identified? I do. We're not going to talk about prayer today in the understanding that you know that prayer is part of a Bible study. We need to go to Bible study in a prayerful spirit, just like Daniel did it. The next. The tip number two, start your devotionals in the morning. Next slide, please. So each morning, consecrate yourself to God for that day. Surrender all your plans to Him to be carried out or given up as His providence shall indicate. Thus, day by day, you may be giving your life into the hands of God, and thus your life will be modeled, more molded, more and more after the life of Christ. Amen. Do you want to be like Jesus? I want to be like Jesus. Amen. Amen. This is from Steps to Christ, page 70. Come, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Amen, right? So, but you may say, Delma, I am not a morning person. It's hard to read the Bible in the morning. So, I'm going to give you one tip. Perhaps you don't have to do your whole Bible study in the morning. Perhaps you can start with a short devotional. And we're going to do an exercise how we can read the Bible and pray through the Bible at the same time. So if you can look in your Bible, Psalms 1, and this is how you're going to read it a little slightly differently, okay? You're going to put your name. So in every pronoun, try to put your name and see how it works. So I'll give you 30 seconds to read the whole chapter, which is short, but with your name on it. Ready? Love that. I see some people still reading. Amen. What was it different? Anybody try this for the first time? Was it your first time? It's personalized, right? So remember we were talking about the power of the word to change our hearts. So some chapters it's not that easy to personalize them, but we can ask, how does this scripture apply to me? How does this Bible story, you can change the character and put yourself as the character and see how God works in the life of this character. Another technique could be reading the Bible out loud. My husband likes that. He reads the Bible out loud. It doesn't work for me, but for some people it works. Instead of just reading, he reads it out loud, and I guess the fact of hearing himself, it makes it more powerful. Those are some tips. Next. Tip number 3. I'm going to throw this question to you. How much time should we spend in our devotions? Juan says 1 hour. What do you think? 15 minutes? 20 minutes? So, I'm sorry? So, the idea is that we get a connection from God, with God, okay? We develop a relationship. Anybody here married? Can I see the married people? Why are you so shy? I'm kidding. So, you know that to build a relationship, it takes time. We spend time. Of course, if you are perhaps not reading your Bible every day, starting with an hour is a lot. So let's start little by little. There are more tips to come that can build in, okay, that can help us. So the answer is, so how much time should we spend reading the Bible until we feel we are connected with God, until we feel there is a personal relationship? Next, please. So people, many may say the Bible is hard to understand. You agree? Some chapters are hard. So the tip number 4, it is study one verse until you understand it. This is, in theological terms, this is called the exegetical method. There are other methods, the historical method. People read the Bible in chronological order. You Google it and you will find a guide that will help you do that. Yes. Amen. Everybody heard him? So study the verse, compare it with other scriptures. Can you go to the next slide, please?
In daily study, the verse-by-verse method is often most helpful. Let the student take one verse and concentrate the mind in ascertaining the thought that God has put into that verse for him, and then dwell upon the thought until it becomes his own. One passage thus studied until its significance is clear is of more value than the perusal of many chapters with no definite purpose in view and no positive instruction gained.
So why I chose to highlight this method over other method is because Sister White, who we believe is inspired, she recommends this method, that we get to understand. There is more value in us understanding than us reading through the Bible and not understanding everything. And then to this I want to add a little tip that I learned from my mom. So my mom, when she read for her devotions, she has a bag. Sorry, my bag is not very pretty. But my mom has a bag, and in that bag, she keeps the Spirit of Prophecy, which is books from Ellen White. She keeps a study Bible that she only uses for study. I keep a lamp, because when I get up in the morning, I don't want to disrupt Ephraim. And not to turn too many lights on. I keep pencils, different colors, and my glasses, spare glasses, So my mom taught me this. So she has her Bible study bag. So all stuff is in the same spot all the time, handy, readily available for her to study the Bible. So that was a tip from my mom. What else do you need? Our brother was saying, you know, compare scripture with scripture to understand better the Bible. Sometimes we don't understand the words, the exact meaning of the words, so we may need a dictionary, a regular dictionary. Now we have Google, of course. We can use a Bible dictionary. Is that the same as a concordance? Kind of, but no. Okay, so if you have a concordance, those are good too. As Seventh-day Adventists, we believe that the writings of Ellen White are inspired, and I encourage you, if you don't believe that that's the case, to read them. They are very, very inspirational. And amen, right? And reading the Bible with the commentary, along with the commentary of Ellen White, is very powerful. Along with this sermon, when you receive the sermon in your email, I'm going to send the notes. I forgot the name of the book. But there is a guide that will tell you what to read in order. As you read the Bible, what spirit of prophecy is the commentary for that specific, those specific paragraphs. Also, read different versions of the Bible. Right? Amen. Many, many men and women lost their lives translating the Bible. And God blessed them. But, you know, language change, cultures change. So we benefit from reading different versions of the Bible. If you read a different language, read it in a different language. It also helps a lot. Okay? Tip number five. Here a little, there a little. That comes from Isaiah verse 28:9-10. It says, "Who is he trying to teach? To whom is he explaining his message? To the children weaned from their milk, to those taken from the breast? For this, do that, a rule for this, a rule for that, here a little, there a little." What does this mean? It means to pretty much study the Bible all the time. A little bit here, a little bit there. There is this Christian doctor. He takes care of high-profile patients, and he tries to make devotions a priority, so he studies in the morning, but he also by memorizing
come after you and you ask your question, the Trinity, what are you going to say? I'll get back with you? You learn as much as you can so your guns are loaded all the time.
Amen. That's a great tip, right? That was actually on my notes, I promise. But he explained it very well. So memorizing scripture during the day, as you remember my tip from this doctor, he sets his timer, and he studies his Bible first thing in the morning. But then, at a certain time of the day, he reads a chapter. He tries to understand it. And at the different times during the day, he's always connected with God. And I'm sure, this method of memorizing scripture to be prepared. I try to keep, of course, we have phones right now, many apps. There is an app to memorize that helps you memorize scripture. I haven't tried, but I've seen Ephraim using it. That's great, right? I am old-fashioned. I keep little cards on my phone, so I try to read them through the day. Oh, especially when I'm down, I try to memorize them, but I just read the, I read them for also, you know, to regain strength. Listening to scripture songs. There are many songs that are scripture based, and it's good to listen to those. The next slide, please. Also having family worship. The family worship doesn't have to be long. It can be reading about as short as reading a Bible chapter, and then having everybody in the family say what they think about it, how it applies to them, how God talks to them. Amen. The next slide, please. Tip number 6. Practice what you have learned. The easiest way to kill your devotional life is to undermine what you have learned. Sometimes we focus on, it's not that bad. I learned this in the Bible, but we believe in grace, and we find all these arguments to justify why we're not applying what we're learning in the Bible. So I encourage you to practice what you have learned. It is another way to empower your devotional life. The next. And let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. This is Titus 3:14. Now, tip number 7, the last tip. Persevere. So let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? Friends, as we study our Bible, let's remember that God is working hard to help us do His will. Amen? It is Him to puts in us by His good pleasure that we may do His will, that we may share it with others. I want to share a short story. This lady found out that in the Bible that it was better to eat more vegetables, that be more of a vegetarian life. And she was very excited about it. And she was, making this for her family. But she started kind of pushing it too hard. And she was frustrated. The Bible says that we need to eat fruits and vegetables and nuts. And I was like, okay. But my family, they don't do it. And I was like, okay. And I don't know why I asked her, so how do you do it? Well, it's a little hard. So she wasn't doing it. So my lesson here, my thought here is, as we study the Bible, our focus is to us practice what we learn to be a good example. It is the Holy Spirit's job to change our hearts and to change our families, our friends' heart. We can tell it, we can say it in love, But sometimes it doesn't. You know, we are not able to persuade our friends to do what the Bible says. But we can pray for them. Amen. Amen. So it's in Proverbs 16:3. It says, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." Amen. And to summarize, "And then these words which I command to you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 and 7. Anybody learn something new today? Amen. Do you think you can practice some of these tips during this week? Implement some in your life so we can grow for Christ? I invite you to bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for this church, that you commanded us to be brothers and sisters in Christ, to build up each other. May you help us be good examples. May you give us power, Lord, to represent you in a way that people can love you more. In Jesus' precious name, amen.